Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting.
Welcome back to the Hashtag Finance Master Show, the podcast where we explore what it takes to build world-class finance functions. Today, we're diving into one of the biggest shifts happening in finance right now, the rise of AI and automation. For many finance professionals, it still feels overwhelming or out of reach. But my guests today are changing that. I'm joined by Marie Speakman and Kirsten McKenzie, the co-founders of Finance Innovation Now, the AI training and advice center for finance professionals. Their mission is to help finance teams gain the knowledge, skills, and confidence to drive real innovation through AI. We'll talk about how to get started, what AI can actually do for finance today, and how to make sure learning translates into action. So Marie, Kirsty, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Anders. Thank you for the invite.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to have you here. Marie and I have been exchanging notes and comments on LinkedIn for years. So great to have you here with us today and sharing insights, and great to have you as well, Kirsty, for sure. So maybe you can start by telling us the story behind Finance Innovation Now, a project that joined the two of you. What inspired you to create a dedicated AI training center for finance professionals?
Well, I have been in the finance and accountancy recruitment field for many years, and I've had a finance and accountancy recruitment business called iMultiply for 13 years. So I have been in a really sort of privileged position, as I see it, to be working with finance leaders, business owners, and finance teams for a long time, and really getting to understand what challenges they have. And, you know, beyond hiring talent, I guess the conversations over time go beyond that, right? So more recently, you know, there's the challenge of, well, what is AI and what should we be doing with it? And how can we benefit from it? You know, is what I was hearing over and over again. But at the same time, iMultiply as a business, as a business owner myself, I was thinking the same for my own business. Small finance function and iMultiply, just 1.5 people. But I was having the same questions. So actually, I'd been following Mary online on LinkedIn, and we'd connected. And I thought, well, actually, let's see what Mary could do for iMultiply. So Mary came in as an AI consultant and worked with our finance manager. And to be honest, I was thinking, right, this is going to cost me a fortune, right? You know, we're a small business, and what is she going to recommend? Because is that going to cost me tens of thousands of pounds as well? And but you know what? Let's give it a go, because it's what everyone's talking about, and I'm sure we can benefit in some way. I just don't know how. Anyway, I'm delighted to say, Maria gave us a lovely list of recommendations. What she did actually is she helped the finance manager to work on the function instead of in it, you know, because you can just get bogged down, can't you, in sort of your day-to-day and your to-do list. So by lifting the head of my finance manager, she helped make her more aware of where her time was actually going. And also, Mary brings this expertise and experience of, well, actually what exists that could help with that. And it wasn't just time saving, it was also about accuracy and saving on, you know, efficiencies across quite a few areas, not just within finance, but it bleeds into operations. Anyway, long story short, get this lovely list of recommendations, of which I have to say the first one was, you're paying for a lot of the systems, but you've not got them connected to each other. And that in itself was like, wow. It's so simple in a way, but we were never going to stop and work that out, you know. And there was a few other great recommendations in there. Anyway, it allowed the finance manager of iMultiply to save half a day a week in time. So that just by following recommendation number one. And I thought, hang on a minute. I need to bring Mary to iMultiply's customers, because I've got all these customers that have got the same challenge. And it doesn't really matter if you're a tiny business or a huge business, the challenges are quite often the same, just on a different scale. And that's how Finn started Finance Innovation Now. And Mary and I got together and we were like, right, how do we help finance professionals to stay ahead? So we created a course so that people could upskill and learn more about finance. And now we've started to bring other specialists in to do live training, got a community, can learn from each other. And it's growing quite nicely and it's growing arms and legs, but based on the needs of finance professionals. So that's how it got started.
Oh, that's a great story. And it just shows that if you deliver value for people, you know, great things can happen. Maybe it's just on that project and the client is happy, or maybe you form connections that will help you build something at the next level. So I really love that story. But just one thing I was curious about, Kirsty, because like you say, you are in finance recruitment and you speak with a lot of candidates. So when the topic of AI sort of comes up, are people mostly concerned or are they excited? Where's the mood at, so to speak?
I would say there's a real mix to that within the same individuals as well. Fear and excitement, you know, come together, I think, for everyone. So I think there is a lot of fear around and some finance professionals worrying about AI automating away their jobs, you know, their judgment, or diminish the value of their expertise. There is that. And I guess that can lead to this sort of subtle resistance, seeing AI as a threat rather than a partner in decision making. But the flip side to that is I know there is a lot of excitement. What could this do for me? What could this allow me to do in my role? Like, could I pick the bits of the role that I enjoy doing and get rid of the bits that are a bit more mundane? You know, so there's that excitement as well. But I think without concrete sort of finance relevant examples for people, it's hard for them to see beyond like the hype necessarily. Yeah. And that's what people want to see now. They want to see, well, what can, like, why would I actually use the AI? What can it actually do for me?
Yeah, and I think that's completely fair, right? I mean, you can talk about theoretical and general concepts, but until you've seen it work on your task and your daily challenges, it's difficult to comprehend how is this going to benefit me. And this is, you know, we do learning as well, right? And we also know learning without the ability to apply it on a practical day-to-day basis, it's not really going to take any root in what you do. So great points there, Kirsty. So the two of you, I mean, you work with finance teams at all levels. What are some of the biggest barriers you see when it comes to understanding or adopting AI in finance today?
I might be criticized for saying this, but I guess, you know, finance professionals are trained to minimize risk, right? And I guess when there's uncertainty around regulatory or ethical implications of AI and AI tools, I think it can then make it difficult to experiment, difficult to pilot one. And I guess what I am seeing quite a lot is a bit of paralysis, you know, rather than experimentation. And I understand that because there's that trying to manage risk. But ultimately, I think, you know, analysis paralysis, we know, is also not so helpful. So I think it's trying to bridge the gap between having enough information and building a confidence enough to kind of know where to start. So I think that's one of the biggest barriers that I'm seeing. And I guess also, a lot of people are aware that using an AI tool, it's only going to be as good as the data that you're putting in. And I guess a lot of finance teams are still struggling with having clean, connected, like high quality data. So yeah, that then sort of stops them from starting as well. Yeah. I don't know if you want to add to that, Mary.
Yeah, I think it's also what I'm saying, it's kind of leadership. So if you've got a CFO who's quite resistant, then that can be a real barrier for a finance team. So there's got to be like this open, you know, people being open to suggestions within finance, you know, using, you know, we've got some great talent within finance work. And I think that's the biggest opportunity really with AI, because the talent can be put to, you know, spend years and years qualifying, and then we kind of sit doing tasks that are quite mundane. And this is where, you know, we've got a massive skill shortage within finance, and we need to be encouraging younger people to come in, because it is a great career. You know, I've absolutely adored my career in finance, but it's, and I think there's even bigger opportunity now, because we will get away from that mundane, we'll get to do what we set out to do. We're just so time constrained that giving that time back to finance professionals is going to be the biggest win.
No, absolutely. And, you know, you say it pretty much between the lines here as well, Marie, that all finance teams are busy, right? So simply starting to free up time and using some of these tools should be something we celebrate, because it's not, they're not busy because they're being able to complete everything they want to do. They're busy because they're only making up maybe half or a little bit more of what they want to do. There's plenty of work that we want to get into. So that's definitely a big challenge to solve, for sure. And then I think, you know, we'll probably get back to this as well. There's also something about being realistic with companies in terms of where are we with AI. So yes, it can do a lot, but if you look at, even if you take leading companies, I mean, they are not running end-to-end processes on AI or even their entire finance function. Is it possible? Yes, but they're not there today. So they're also in the experimentation phase, right? So if all you're doing is experimenting, you're actually doing pretty well, right? So just get started to do this experimentation and it'll be okay. And then the data issue that you mentioned, Kirstys, I wanted to touch upon that as well, because so I went to Microsoft, I think it was last year, the year before, and present kind of what you can do with AI and FP&A to one of their clients. And it wasn't like more than 5 or 10 minutes into my talk that the client, you know, brought up the issue about data and master data management. And I was like, I know, but we've been talking about this for 20 years, 2 decades, right? And we still haven't solved it, but it's just getting more and more critical by the day. And then I went to SAP Sapphire in Madrid earlier this year, where of course they put the best and biggest on display in terms of what AI can do. But then when you talk to the customers and say, what are you actually doing with it? And where's the data in all of this? And they're like, yeah, the data foundation is not quite there yet. And yeah, you know, we've automated part of a process and it's working great, but end to end, we're not there yet, right? So let's just be realistic on this. And then companies can start to experiment and it's going to be okay, because it is exciting and it is actually offering a lot of opportunity, like you also just mentioned, Marie. And I think that probably also goes into the next question here. So your foundation course kind of promises to make AI practical and accessible. So what does that look like in reality? And what are some of the top aha moments that people experience when they go through it?
I think there was a lot of, you know, like Kirsty said, what she saw, a lot of fear. And it's like, you know, ChatGPT brought a lot of awareness, but it's still, how can I actually apply that to my finance function? So it was getting kind of back to real basics, which I think finance professionals need and like. So it's getting a real understanding of AI. What is it? What actually is it? Because people just think ChatGPT, but there's more to it. So we do like a real understanding of what it is. Obviously going to ethics and guardrails, which are, you know, we must have within finance. And you know, I think getting that basic understanding then showing practical applications, they then can get it. It's like, oh, I get it now. I get what it can do. But just talking AI in general is not helpful for, you know, for finance professionals. And we can kind of just, and I think it is that taking away the fear and showing people that it's something that's been around for a long time, but it's now, you know, and bigger companies have been using it. Now smaller companies have got the, you know, the ability, you know, it's cost effective to use it. So that's been the biggest change.
Oh, that's great, Tara. And I think that's what people need to see, right? What it really is. And of course, yes, we should be aware of the compliance and ethics and all these things, but it shouldn't stop us from experimenting, right? Because that's how we learn. So to make it even more concrete, you built a program around case studies and tool overviews and a 5-phase roadmap, which maybe you can also share a little bit more about. But could you share an example of a finance process where AI made a real measurable impact?
Yes, so we work with with a company. It's a travel company that does tours as well. And they were massively overwhelmed with transactions. So during the summer months, you know, they've got like lots of transactions, about 90,000 invoices going through, and they were doing like a matching process, pretty manual, using Excel. So we introduced a digital worker there, which is saving them, what was it, Kirsty? It's about 60%.
60% of their time in accounts receivable.
Yeah, plus a lot cleaner ledgers. And then the team there, they've got a really talented team of like six people. And the big thing for them is adding value. So it's they're now able to add value and be business partners instead of doing the mundane and repetitive tasks that they, you know, were having to do. So that's been a real time saver for them. And then because of that, you've now got that insight into what's possible. It's like looking at other parts of the business where they can use, you know, put the digital worker to give it more work, basically.
Mm-hmm. That's what they're doing now, isn't it? Out with the finance function.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's a great example. And of course, you know, it's a simple process, but it's like you say, it's heavy on transactions, right? And that's, I think, is the simple case where AI, you can even go all the way back to the RPA days, can do a lot of good and help you with give you a lot of benefits rather than doing a manual VLOOKUP or whatever they were doing in their Excel sheets before, right? Which we know is not always that reliable. So I love that simple example. I think it also helps to make it simple and practical for people out there. What are the tasks or processes that they should be looking at right now? Yes, you can also, and I always advocate, say, you know, look at your forecasting or other bits to automate that and use AI, but it doesn't have to be that complex or high stakes. It can be a simple process, just like you outlined here, Marie. So thanks for sharing that. But obviously, you know, finance leaders and finance professionals are still concerned, and some are even on the fence about, yeah, you know, how is this really going to impact our work and what we do? So what are some of the most common misconceptions that finance leaders still have about AI out there that you hear from people you talk to?
A few I've heard recently would be that you need a data scientist to use AI. You know, we don't have the technical skills to engage with AI. So, but actually, you know, there's a lot of embedded AI tools that are increasingly designed for business users, not engineers. So really, I think the skill needed isn't coding, it's AI literacy. And what I mean by that is it's understanding what AI can do, how it fits into workflows, how to interpret its output responsibly, I guess. That's the skill that's needed rather than a real techie data scientist.
I really love that because I can't remember, maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, I coined the term techno, someone that knows what technology is available and know how it should be applied to create benefits in the company, but is not a techie that is able to code it or build it themselves, because you can hire people to do that. But if you don't know what to apply it on, then of course, in maybe a bit like the hesitation you had in the first beginning, Kirsty, about bringing Marie on board, is like, what is this really going to lead to? Is it really going to bring these benefits? But if you are techno, you know it's going to bring benefits, and you know who to turn to bring it in and get it started. So if the expectation is that the finance people should become techies, then we have definitely missed the mark. Because, you know, yes, the biggest companies out there, they might be building their own AI tools from scratch and whatnot, but most of us will be relying on tools already built, or, you know, like you mentioned, Kirsty, maybe tools that are really easy to just almost drag and drop, and then you have have an AI tool built. Because I always say to people, don't try to build things from scratch yourself. Wait for your tool providers, or not, don't even wait for them. Demand that they build these solutions for you. And if you're picking a new tool provider today for month end close or reporting or forecasting, don't just ask them what they can do today. look into their roadmap and see what AI capabilities are they expecting to develop, because that's the competitive advantage now, not necessarily what the system could do today, because things move so fast, right? So really love that you brought in the techie, because that allows me to bring up the techno again, which is it always kind of strikes a good nerve with people, I think.
I love it. And I think as well, you know, that the other common misconception is that, of course, AI is going to replace all finance roles.
Yeah.
All finance professionals will not have a job in the future. You know, but, well, as it stands, AI automates tasks. You know, it doesn't replace accountability. And, you know, so I very much see AI as a tool to amplify finance talent, not replace it.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. So I'll give you a few examples. So from back in 2018, I joined an executive event with the Hacker Group, and one of their partners was sharing with me that he spoke to an AI expert at that time, which of course is maybe very much different from what it is today. But he said if he had $6 billion, he could automate the whole finance function of a major global oil and gas company. So already back then, it was possible, but there was a price tag. But that means today, it's possible. And, you know, we know how it goes with these things. The price tag is just a lot lower. So there will be a time where the price tag is low enough for you to be able to do it. The question is it going to deliver the outcomes that you want? And I'll give you another example of that, because I'm a big Star Wars fan. I don't know if you guys are Star Wars fans, but there's the movie Rogue One, which is one of the build-ons that Disney launched once they bought the whole franchise. And in that movie, the rebels are going on a very dangerous mission. And of course, there's a droid there, a robot that can calculate the probability of anything. And they are forced to bring on this person who's not really part of the rebellion onto the mission. And the droid says to the leader of the mission, if you bring her on, the likelihood of success is going to drop significantly. But of course, because they bring her on, they're going to be successful with that mission because of whatever she's able to do. And so, you know, the probabilistic calculations that the droid can make, and of course, AI can maybe do it more fancy today, is not all there is to it. There's the qualification of decisions. There's the qualifications of opportunities and risks that AI can deliver something in. But we still need to understand, can we actually do it as a company? Do we have the resource available? Are we, have we succeeded with this in the past, and so on and so on. So there's so much qualification going on. And this leads me to the last one. This particular question here is, I joined a CFO roundtable around a month ago. And we, of course, were talking about AI as well and how they were using it or not using it. And I said to them, you need to move from doing the work to qualifying the work. Right. So making sure the output that you get makes sense and is usable for your company. And it's simple. That's like with ChatGPT, right? You could ask it a question and it could hallucinate or give you information that doesn't really work. But if you're not skilled to qualify the answers, you're not going to be able to use it. So I think that's just some perspectives on some of the answers that you gave as well, Kirsty.
Yeah.
So going back to the course, so after finance professionals will complete your course, how do you help them turn that knowledge into real implementation in their companies or even for themselves?
So the example that I gave before about the CFO, we would go in and look at the finance function and just see, like I did with Kirsty, where we can get some automations, basically. And sometimes those automations are already there. They just haven't connected. So we offer that to companies, where we go in and what I call is take the helicopter view of the finance function, but then that can lead into operations, admin, things like that. So that's something that we offer to companies.
The great thing about the course is you actually get access as well to a drop-in clinic with Mari as part of the course. So back to you, I think, Anders, you made a point earlier, you know, quite often you can do a learning, can't you? But if you don't then quite quickly translate that into something tangible or do something with it, it can get lost. So I think that's one of the reasons we said, well, actually do the course, let, you know, try and digest some of your key takeaways, then have the session with Mari, and she will help you distill, well, what do you do with that knowledge now? What's your next step? Where do you go from here?
Yeah, and that's the real thing, right? I think with most new things we need to learn, we still need help. Even if we have been explained the concept, it takes time to really learn it, let's say, right? I think, you know, what is the wisdom that it takes 10,000 hours to become really good at something? And I think it's true. It will be the same thing with AI, which is, of course, challenging because it's a field that develops so fast. But you almost need to invest 10,000 hours in working with and understanding AI to become really, really good at it. And that's not possible for most people. So that's why you need help, right? So kind of matching up a course with someone that can help afterwards, I think is a great way to do it, to ensure it actually leads to some real tangible outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
So you talked about also before, Marie, you know, mentioning that helping teams to free up time for strategic work without reducing headcount. Because, you know, like you say, if you free up 50% of a person's time, then either you can save or you can actually start to take on more value-adding work. So what does that look like in practice? Can you mention some more examples? Because you talked a little bit about it before as well.
Yeah, I think we've got a real opportunity now to actually upskill people as well. So I think that's one of the real benefits. But, you know, as we said earlier, we're always, you know, I remember, you know, doing the month end and then having this list, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that. And it didn't happen unless I kind of, you know, like made it happen in my own time, which quite often I would, because I was a bit of a nerd like that. But it's having that opportunity, because, you know, we've got all these ideas and all this talent is kind of just being, you know, behind the computer, whereas we can, you know, be out there and working with, you know, within the business. Finance has got access to everything within a company, and we can offer so much insight into not just the numbers, but lots of other areas within the company. So I do like how kind of work we're able now to use the data a lot better than we could before to give. It's not flat numbers. It's kind of more, we've got more dynamic numbers going on that can give insights that as finance professionals, it would take us kind of a long time to see that. So, you know, the things that the insights that we can get is just, it's amazing.
I think as well, you know, quite often, and even still today, finance functions are quite siloed, aren't they? And obviously, it was many years ago now, I was working in recruitment and this business partner term became a thing, right? Oh, we're going to business partner and we're good. But I think the reality still today is there's not enough time to actually build relationships with the wider business. And I think that's what people, not everyone's got the head around, that AI is not going, cannot replace that. And there's the real opportunity there.
Yeah.
Is how it's the communication side, how you build relationships, how you can add value beyond the numbers by interpreting it in a way that, well, actually AI won't be able to do. Because you've got the, you know, the relationship, the communication, the context, the different type of problem solving skills. So I think, you know, freeing up time for a strategic work, that's what you're going to be doing, actually having more conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah, and exactly the things that you mentioned there, Kirsty, they're the necessity to be able to qualify whatever you get from AI, right? Because let's say you have an AI tool connected to all the data you have in the company, and you're going to ask any questions about, you know, what's up, what's down, what are you seeing? But without having had real conversations with the people out there in the front line, you won't really know if it's true or not. So you could just be putting this in front of a business leader, and he or she will go, where do you get that from? That's not really what happened. We can talk about it, but I'm a bit concerned if I can really trust the numbers coming out of you now, right? So we can't just be using this without the ability to qualify, and it will come from all these conversations and relationship building and whatnot. So this is really the opportunity, almost of a lifetime, right? That now finally we have the tools and the technology in hand. It's caught up with our ambitions to be business partners, because now we actually get the time to do it. Of course, we require that you actually get it to work for your company, but it is really a great place to be in, I think. But let's say a CFO is ready to start. Where should they focus first? What's the smartest entry point for AI and finance in your perspectives?
I think the understanding that, you know, starting with an understanding and having a really good understanding of what AI is, that's where we like to start. And that was definitely it for me. I had to know like what it was all about first. And then looking at how you can apply, and you know, I think we really need to sometimes just step back, and having somebody from outside can, because of the time constraints and things like that, I think sometimes an outside consultant can spot something that you wouldn't. We can be too close sometimes as a CFO. And it's getting off that hamster wheel to actually take a look, which is the, you know, the biggest thing. Time again in finance, and that's going to be the biggest benefit that we're going to get back. And I like what you said before, Anders, about the ambition. I think that's, you know, that really kind of is, because we do have this ambition when we're, you know, as finance, when we do the training and we do all this, and we've got this ambition. And then sometimes it's like we get stuck in the numbers. So that's the biggest win.
Mm-hmm. I think what you did for iMultify, Mari, was help the finance manager actually just understand where her time was going.
Yeah.
You know, it seems so simple, doesn't it? But it's like, what's happening in the function, actually?
Yeah.
Right, and now explore tools and solutions. Hang on a minute. What's happening?
Yeah. Yeah, I did say to a CFO that, you know, we're talking about month end and he's very kind of bogged down in spreadsheets and things. And I said, why don't you just record what you actually do on a month end, just to see how many steps you're taking? We can then look at that, and there's going to be so much, kind of, you know, time saving that we can save within that the process. So yeah, I think it is just taking that step back and looking at what you actually do, because it becomes just a, you know, say it's just repetitive, you know, we repeat, but it's, there is lots of, I mean, without talking AI, just automations that are within, that we can use within finance.
And absolutely, and we've also been running a course called Making Time Work That Matters for many years now, and we also asked them then to look at a standard week, what they're doing, and note down every 15 minutes, you know, kind of a week in the life of exercise. And, you know, maybe in the past, it could lead to a little bit of frustration because, you know, saying, yeah, you can use RPA and you can use these tools, it was too difficult for the finance professionals to really do it, or at least they need some improvement of investment or whatever it might be. But I think today with AI, it should be much easier to say, okay, I can get started on automating some of these things that I'm doing, and the return on time invested, or ROTI, which we then also have in this course, is just sky high. Whereas maybe 5 years ago, it was a little bit more difficult. Today, it's just like the tools are available. Just start doing it, right? So it's more of a mindset thing than it's a tool or a process thing. Mm-hmm. So it's really where we need to work on changing that mindset. And I'm sure your course is also helping people changing their mindset towards, oh, okay, is it just that? Let's get going, right?
I mean, just on the robotic process automation, a lot of companies and sizable companies are not aware of that. So that was available. I mean, I know it's the cost has come down dramatically now, but something as basic as that, you know, they weren't aware of.
Absolutely. So of course, you know, with AI coming in, taking over work, we need to free up time, we need to be more strategic and so on. How do you see the finance skill set evolving over the next few years as AI becomes more integrated into the finance function?
I think, as we said before, becoming, you know, the finance business partners within the company, you know, really being able to use our, you know, so learning qualifications. There's a lot of that we learn within qualifications that we never get to apply. So I think that's the biggest win, and, you know, getting time back and having time to communicate within company. And, you know, as Kirsty said before, let's not be siloed. Let's make it more of a, you know, get the company, let's not have finance separate from the rest of the company. Get us all kind of working together.
I think as well, just
go ahead, Kirsty.
I was just going to say as well, I've put my recruitment hat on. I think if I was a finance professional thinking, well, what's going to stand me in good stead for, you know, for a job change, or to position myself in a way that I'm going to, you know, put myself best foot forward in the next sort of recruitment process. I think there's a lot of information about this out there. It's a learn how to learn. But like you've got to show how you are continuously learning, and like practical examples of that, because I think, you know, we're going to go from perhaps, you could argue, quite rigid roles in finance, like quite set roles, to like real continuous learning. So those skill sets of adaptability, lifelong learning, and becoming comfortable experimenting, that is what I think an employer is going to be looking for on your CV. You know, that's what I would be doing right now, is looking at how do I upskill myself to learn.
Yeah,
it's kind of back to it's a bit worn now, the expression, right? But the growth mindset, right?
Yes.
If you have that growth mindset, you have the ability to learn a lot of things. It doesn't mean you should learn everything, right? Sometimes we also need to put some focus on what we want to learn. But the ones that have the growth mindset, employers, I would get, and you can add to that, Kirsty, are probably more likely to hire them than those that seem to not have it. Because, you know, things are moving so fast that it's impossible that you are able to do everything today that you need to be able to do in 2 or 3 years. Whereas in the past, you could hire an accountant and you would know this accountant needs to do the same work for the next 10 to 15 years. So I don't want to hire someone who doesn't have the skill set today, because then I need to invest a lot and pay a lot to get that up to date. So today it's different, I guess. What do you think, Kirsty?
Yeah, no, I think you explained that much more succinctly than I did, Anders. So thank you.
No, that's great. But I just wanted to add one more question on the recruitment part, because as you speak with a lot of candidates, are they ready? Or is there kind of a step that all the candidates need to take? Because, you know, it's difficult to change from being a numbers person to becoming a people person, which is really what they need to do to build those relationships and get all the context to be able to qualify what AI can produce. So are they ready for it? Or, you know, what are some of the biggest areas where we need to focus our development efforts in the coming years?
No, I think there's a lot of work to do. I think that's the reality. And of course, I would say this because it sounds like a bit of a sales pitch, but that's why we created the foundation course. So really, I would be saying to everyone, you know, it's not a huge amount of money, but it's a lot of value. Do the foundation course, it's a good starting place. And then, you know, we're looking at other courses and other ways to upskill, not just your knowledge, but your EQ, essentially, your emotional intelligence, your, you know, that relationship side, because there is still a lot of work to be done for a lot of people on that side as well. You know, you can't just all of a sudden flip a switch for some people and be like, I'm going to be a business partner. What does that look like? You know, again, it sounds perhaps straightforward, but not everyone has very good listening skills. Not everyone knows how to ask open questions and ascertain different information. You know, and actually, there's quite a lot to learn within that. And I can say that I'm not trying to sound condescending anyway, but I did a coaching qualification personally, not to become a coach, but to improve my own, you know, self-awareness and listening skills. And actually it was invaluable. And I think those are the skills that actually finance professionals are going to need. So I think we need to look as a business for Finn Finance Innovation Now, we need to look at how do we bring access to how to learn those types of skills.
Yeah, and I can tell for myself, right, because I've gone through this becoming a business partner journey. And, you know, of course, I thought, are there great things along the way and why I'm not getting this, that, and this promotion or that fancy job? But the reality is it took me 10 years to become really good at it. But once I was really good at it, I could go into a VP's organization and be a business partner from day one almost, or in a matter of weeks. Whereas today, most people would take at least 6 months before they just start to get the hang of this relationship and the business and everything else. And maybe in the matter of the 2 to 3 years that they stay in the role, they still don't really get to the point where they're really adding value the way we have described we should do as business partners. So it takes a long time. And I've dedicated my mission to help people do it in shorter time than 10 years, maybe 2 to 3, because 10 years is really just a long time. But I do see that gap every single day. And even though people say, yeah, we are business partners and we are this and that, if you really go under the hood and see what they're doing and the value they're creating, yeah, there is some way to go. So thanks for sharing that as well. So just one question left that I ask all people appearing on the show. So on the Hashtag Finance Master show, we define a finance master as someone who helps build a world-class finance function. So Maria and Kirsty, how does your work at Finance Innovation Now contribute to that mission?
I think our work at Finance Innovation Now contributes quite nicely, because our work is about equipping, I would say that, but it's about equipping finance professionals, not just with tools, but with the mindset and the capability to lead innovation, to adapt and to elevate the finance function. I think what we're doing is we're helping people turn innovation into real business impact, essentially.
That's great to hear. And certainly, you know, AI is an important ingredient in creating world-class finance function. Of course, the benchmark keeps moving. So if everyone used the same amount of AI, then you are not moving in the benchmark either. So, you know, go and take the course, if you're listening to this, to improve your benchmark compared to your candidate, let's say, competition or your finance function competitions out there. Because it's really, if you don't, I mean, we've all heard the quote, right, that, you know, AI will replace finance professionals. It's finance professionals using AI that will replace those that don't, right? So it's really what it is here. But, you know, Marie, Kirsty, thanks a lot for sharing all the insights here. I really do appreciate it. If people want to get in contact with you, reach out, what's the best way to do that?
I think if you go to the Finance Innovation website, which is financeinnovation.ai, there's a lot of contact us page and information about Marion and myself and how to get in touch.
And we're both on LinkedIn as well.
Yes.
So we spend time on LinkedIn, as you know, Anders.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I always also say to people when I get asked this question, it's like, yeah, just find me on LinkedIn. I'm on there so much anyway, so that's the best way to do it. But thanks so much for coming to share a bit more about what you do at Finance Innovation Now and your thoughts about how AI is going to impact the finance function in the future and what that means for finance professionals out there, and also bringing in the recruiter aspect. I think that's also hugely valuable, because there are many people out there looking at what I need to develop to be relevant. How do I make myself come in sort of to some of these roles that are available. So great to add that as well. So Marie, Kirsty, thanks a lot. I'm sure we'll see a lot more to each other out there discussing the future of finance. It's been very valuable to have you here.
Thank you. Thanks very much,
Anders. And to everyone who's listening out there, thanks a lot for once again tuning in to the Hashtag Finance Master show. We'll be back in 2 weeks with other exciting people to share their stories and their perspectives on how to become a world-class finance function. So thanks a lot, and see you soon.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting.